कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण राम राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी, राधा वृंदावन बिहारी, राधा वृंदावन बिहारी, राधे राधे श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः, श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले, स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं, वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं, श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम Canto 4, Chapter 8, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, text number 7 and 8. So we'll chant the 7th verse. Priyavrato Uttanapadau Shatarupapate Sutau Vasudevasya Kalaya रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापतेः सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापतेः सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापते सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ तरूपापते सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापते सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापते सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ माताजिस् प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापते सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रतोत्तानपादौ शतरूपापतेः सुतौ वासुदेवस्य कलया रक्षायां जगतः स्थितौ प्रियव्रत उत्तानपादौ उत्तानपाद शतरूपापतेः Of Queen Shatarupa and her husband, her husband Manu, Sutau, the two sons, Vasudevasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kalaya, by plenary expansion, Rakshayam, for the protection, Jagataha, of the world, Stitau, for the maintenance. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Swayambhu Manu had two sons by his wife Shatarupa, and the names of the sons were Uttanapad and Priyavrata. Because both of them were descendants of plenary expansion of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were very competent to rule the universe, to maintain and protect the citizens. Purport. It is said that these two kings, Uttanapada and Priyavrat, were specifically empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unlike the great king Rishabha, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So we are here talking about Jiva, who is empowered by Krishna to achieve certain kind of function. So we can say they are Shaktyavesh. And sometimes other opulent manifestations of Lord in the world are also known as Vibhutis. So we are also taking text 8 today, right? So Jaya Uttana Padasya Sunitihi Suruchis Tayoho Suruchi Preyasi Patyur Netara Yatsuto Dhruvaha. King Uttanapad had two queens named Suniti and Suruchi. Suruchi was much more dear to the king. Suniti, who had a son named Dhruva, was not his favorite. Purport. The great sage Maitreya wanted to describe the pious activities of the kings. Priyavrata was the first son of Swayambhuva Manu, and Uttanapada was the second. But the great sage Maitreya immediately began to speak of Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Uttanapada, because Maitreya was very eager to describe pious activities. The incidents in the life of Dhruva Maharaj are very attractive for devotees. From his pious activities, one can learn how one can detach himself from material possessions and how one can enhance one's devotional service by severe austerities and penances. By hearing the activities of pious Dhruva, one can enhance one's faith in God and can directly connect with Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, one can very soon be elevated to the transcendental platform of devotional service. The example of Dhruva Maharaj's austerities can immediately generate a feeling of devotional service in the hearts of the hearers. Sadhyo rudi avarudyate atra krutibhi sushirshubhis tatkshanat. Tatkshanat is immediately it can generate a devotional feeling, Prabhupada writes, in the hearts of the hearers of any pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam, but here specifically the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. As Prabhupada writes, they are very attractive for devotees, these pastimes. And by hearing these pastimes, what happens? One, the faith in Krishna increases. And two, one can directly connect with Krishna. And elevated to the bhakti platform. So today, because Prabhupada mentions that they are very attractive to devotees, it is notable that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was about to take sannyas, Shachi Devi is actually lamenting and saying that, oh, why are you taking sannyas? Like, she gets the hint because she sees one time how Vishwambar is associating so much with Keshav Bharati, who is a sannyasi. So, for a mother, it's not so difficult to understand or anticipate what's coming. Like many times, the devotees in their college or, you know, they start going for lectures in ISKCON or, you know, or more associate with devotees, and then the parents become apprehensive immediately. Something will happen, like, you know. So Shachi Devi here gets the hint that because he is associating so much with Keshav Bharati, and also her sister, who is Acharya Ratna's wife, I think. Yeah. She also tells Shachi Devi, hey, why your son Vishwambar is associating so much with Keshav Bharati, who is a sannyasi Vaishnava. So now then she confronts Lord Chaitanya and says that, oh, you are going to take sannyas, but then what will happen to all of us? I will die, and Vishnupriya will die, and all the residents of Navadvip will die. So Lord Chaitanya then narrates a version of Dhruva Maharaj's story here, pastime here, to Mother Shachi, which I thought it will be a good idea to read the whole pastime because it has a different details than same crux of Bhagavatam, but a little minute variations that we may relish while we read Gauranga's version of Dhruva Maharaj's pastime as he narrates to Mother Shachi. After listening to his mother, Shachi, Vishvambhara spoke comforting words to her. He said, "Mother, please listen to the nectarian story about how Dhruva Maharaj became a famous devotee by the mercy of his mother." So he's kind of saying, so you also be merciful upon me so that I can become a devotee of Krishna. Instead of opposing my plans, you can, you know, give your full blessings so that just like Dhruva became devotee by mercy of our instructions and of his mother told him to go to forest, like, you know. And I'm already ready to going to forest and you're stopping me, you know. So, so then he says, Gauranga quoted a shloka, which actually is a shloka from Padyavali. Vyadhasya charanam dhruvasya cha vayaha vidya gajendrasya ka kubjaya kimu naam rupam adhikam kim tatsudam no dhanam vaunshah ko vidurasya yadava pate rugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalai nahi gunair bhakti priyo madhavaha. What good quality did the hunter have? This hunter is Dharma Vyad from Mahabharat, okay, who was actually selling meat, but yet he was a devotee of the Lord. Selling meat because he had a curse by a Brahmana in his last life, and therefore as a term of the curse he was selling meat, but he was not eating it or, like, you know, but he was a Vaishnava. Vyadasya acharanam dhruvasya cha vayaha, what was the age of Dhruva? I am at least 24 right now, Mahaprabhu is saying. Dhruva was 5 years old when he left for forest. Right? Nityananda was 12 years old, like, you know. So, Vidya Gajendra Saka, what is the education of Gajendra? Did Kubja possess bodily beauty? No, she was hunchback. Did Sudama have vast riches? No, he brought only a chipped rice, and that too was begged from the house of the neighbor by his wife. Did Vidura have a high birth? No, he was a servant, a son of a maid servant. Did the king of Yadus, Ugrasen, have valor? No, he was captured by his own son, Kamsa. But yet all of these are achieved the favor of Madhava, Krishna, by what? Not by material qualities, but only by loving devotion. And now Gauranga tells the story of Dhruva Maharaj. So we'll listen, mother. Now I will tell you how 5-year-old Dhruva attained the most exalted position. Swayambhu Manu, the mental son of Brahma, was powerful and formidable. His body was practically spiritual. His two sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapada, Priyavrata Uttanapada, became great kings by the mercy of Lord Brahma. King Uttanapada had two wives, Suruchi and Sunuti. Suruchi had 7 sons. One of them was Uttama. This I didn't know. And Suniti, however, had only one son named Dhruva. Suruchi became favorite queen of King Uttanapada. Neglected by her husband, Suniti had to act as Suruchi's maidservant. It is very difficult for any co-wife to become maidservant of her rival, right? Suniti suffered so much in her lamentation that even stones would float and oceans would dry up. Although a queen, Suniti was forced to eat unhusked rice and tasteless vegetables without salt. So, her diet was also changed by her cruel co-wife. She and her 5-year-old son, Dhruva, endured many miseries. One day, the king sat on his jeweled throne, enjoying with Suruchi, Uttama and his 6 brothers. Dhruva, who was covered with dust from playing with his friends, tried to climb up his father's throne too. but his seven cousins, or actually stepbrothers, pushed him down on the floor. This is another version, like, you know, the cousins pushed him down. His pride crushed, threw up again crying. His father, however, being controlled by his queen Suruchi, kept silent. Dhruva didn't understand that his mother Suniti was not favored by his father. I mean, the children, they are so innocent, they don't understand politics, like, you know. So he was saying, hey, what's wrong? I am also his son. Why am I not allowed? Suruchi rebuked Dhruva. You are uselessly crying. Being the son of a maid servant, you foolishly thought you could sit on the throne. Life after life, your mother has never served Lord Krishna. She's bringing philosophy, like, you know. Don't you feel ashamed about trying to sit on king's throne? You are the son of an unfortunate non-devotee. How can you possibly sit on the throne? After listening to his stepmother, Dhruva cried and ran to his mother, Suniti. Dhruva said, Mother, my stepmother has beaten me and pushed me off the throne. She said that you didn't serve Krishna. She told me I should feel ashamed to try and sit on the jeweled throne. Until now, I didn't know that you were her maidservant. This sounds strange to me. Dhruva's mother cried as she replied, Darling, I am most unfortunate. Life after life, actually she is correct. I never thought of serving Krishna. Although in reality, everyone is Krishna's servant. Don't cry if someone teases or criticizes you for being the servant of a maid. Son of a maid servant. Mother Suniti continued to speak comforting words to her son. She said, Dhruva, you are not the darling of your father. Therefore, you have trouble when you have tried to climb the throne. Don't cry, Dhruva. Just listen to me. Your stepmother became fortunate because she must have previously worshipped Krishna. Not likely, because otherwise she won't have this envy towards, you know, towards Dhruva. But that's how Suniti thinks because of her magnanimous heart. One who serves the lotus feet of Krishna can get anything he desires. What to speak of insignificant throne? Now give up your false pride, worship Krishna, and easily you will attain everything. Dhruva, because you are my son, you will always hear sarcastic remarks from people in general. So how will you ever enjoy the privilege of sitting on your father's lap? Because I am unfortunate since my birth. After saying this, tears flooded Suniti's eyes. She continued, Listen, my son, only Lord Krishna can remove your miseries. By serving Krishna, all the demigods like Brahma and others received exalted posts in heavenly planets. This comes in Bhagavatam also, how she refers to Brahma and others, Manu. If you worship Krishna, you will be worshipped in three worlds. What to speak of sitting on a throne? As a byproduct, you will be worshipped in three worlds. What is it? Sarva Preshthatvam, particular quality that a devotee achieves in Shubhada. Sadgunadi Pradatvam and Sukha Pradatvam, Jagat Prinanam, yes. So the whole world is satisfied with the devotee. And a devotee is pleasing to the whole world. Sarva jagata manuraktata. So that is what he will achieve as a byproduct of or natural outcome of his devotional service. It's true. So Dhruva, you can attain Krishna in Madhuvan. She is directing him to a place also. This is in Vrindavan. One of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. If you attain the throne, you will be worthy of your name Dhruva, which means firmly determined. Taking dust of mother's feet upon his head, Dhruva decided to leave home at an auspicious moment. Seeing Dhruva absorbing his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna, demigods cheered encouragingly. So, interestingly, so demigods also became happy that, he is absorbing his mind in Krishna. After fixing the goal of attaining love for Krishna within his heart,
Dhruva left for the forest of Madhuvan. Although sweet fruits, fresh water were available, Dhruva didn't eat or drink anything along the way. He paid no attention to hunger or thirst. He was doggedly determined. Seeing this, the demigods now become disturbed. Fearing what elevated post he would capture by his austerities. So in Bhagavatam, Narad Muni once, he says that this world is described as, this is a quiz question to Hariyashwas and Shavalashwas, I think. So where he says that, I think Hariyashwas. So he says this, he compares this world to a river flowing from birth to death and death to birth. Like river flowing two ways. Usually the normal river doesn't flow two ways. Yeah. Unless you go to some fantasy land or something, like, you know, the SL world or something. You have two streams, one going this way, another going that way. But the world is a two-way moving river. And another description is given, Velakulanta Vegitam. Velakulanta Vegitam means the current, usually the, in the normal river, the current is stronger where? In the middle or towards the shore? In the middle, if you have gone to Rishikesh to take bath, they have chains. And without chains, you cannot enter the current is too strong. But this river, river of material existence, it is Velakulanta Vegitam. In the middle, there is slow current. But if one tries to come out, at the shore, there is high current. Like, you know, this contradictory nature, like, you know. Why? Because one cannot come out. So if, as long as one doesn't try to come out of this material world, doesn't do bhakti, everything is apparently fine, like, you know, he's smoothly flowing towards death, like, you know. But the moment he tries to come out, the currents become very strong, like, you know, and then there will be resistance from society, there will be resistance from one's own mind, there will be resistance from previous sanskaras. Like that, like it becomes more stronger. Yeah. So the demigods are initially became happy that Dhruva is taking to devotional service, but now he's taking to tapasya, so they are worried why he is doing tapasya, so they become a little disturbed. Narada met Dhruva on the road and said, "You are the son of a king. At your age, you should be playing and enjoying various games, like video games, like, you know." So you should not be worried so much. Why are you harboring such anger within your mind? According to tradition, a young boy doesn't repair to a forest. That means retire to a forest. When you get old, you can serve Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj said, Narada, what happens if I die in my youth? The same argument given by Prahlad Maharaj also. Kaumaram acharit pradnyam. Narad Muni was happy to see Dhruva's introspection. So this was actually a test by Narad Muni, and Dhruva Maharaj passes this test. Then the sage gave Dhruva the 12th syllable mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dhruva said, Narad Muni, without serving Krishna, I have suffered so much. My stepmother's harsh words hurt me deeply. You are very kind. Seeing my unfortunate position, please remove my miseries and instruct me about Krishna. I have heard that by worshipping Krishna, I will attain a supremely exalted post, unimaginable even by forefathers and ancestors. Narada said, Dhruva, go to Madhuvan forest on the banks of Yamuna in Vrindavan. Sit down fixed in meditation and constantly and softly chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because it's a japa, and the definition of japa is by Rupa Goswami, Mantaranam Sulaghu Uccharo Japa Iti Abhidhiyate. Mantaranam Sulaghu Uccharo. Sulaghu means like how Prabhupada defines very softly, or how Prabhupada mentions loud enough so that you can hear. I mean, we can hear ourselves. And in Sankirtan, we can do to the top of our voice, like, you know, lungs, yeah, best capacity. Okay. So within 7 days, you will attain the realization. This is Narada Muni's promise. similar to Chitraketu's promise. Like, you know, Dhruva Maharaj became very happy to receive initiation from Narada. He paid obeisances to the great sage Narada and went to Vrindavan. 7 days later, Dhruva arrived in Madhuvan. Seeing the wish-fulfilling trees in Vrajadham, Dhruva got free from ignorance. So, the atmosphere of Vrindavan is conducive for devotional service. Therefore, we have Vrindavan and Govardhan here so that our mind is always absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Dhruva felt ever-increasing bliss to be living in the beautiful forest of Madhuvan. He fasted the first day. So his austerity was done with ever-increasing bliss. Not with clenched fist and like, you know, like that. The next day he woke early, took bath in Yamuna and started chanting the mantra. Feeling neither hunger nor thirst, Dhruva shed tears of joy. After 5 or 7 days, he would eat one badari fruit each day. This is a wild berry. Beer ko bolte hain kya badri? Alag rehta, okay. Otherwise, he would just take a few drops of water mixed with some turmeric leaves. So now the demigods are testing Dhruva. Dhruva broke with his fast after 1 month. He stood on one leg and folded his hands while chanting the 12th syllable mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Even in the scorching summer heat, he didn't stop his meditation. In winter, Dhruva stayed in the Yamuna. He tolerated much suffering during the rainy seasons. While continuously meditating on the Lord, Dhruva entered Samadhi. The demigods, afraid about losing their posts, were astonished to see the severity of Dhruva's austerities. Brahma, Indra, Kuvera and Varuna discussed how Krishna would help Dhruva to take away their power. They discussed what are Dhruva's intentions. You know, throne greater than forefather means greater than Brahmaji. Like, you know, so how does it, so is Dhruva trying to, you know, overthrow Brahmaji here or any of the demigods? Let's find out. They planned to divert Dhruva from rigorous penances. Brahma, Shiva and others went to test Dhruva. One demigod shouted in Dhruva's ear, Dhruva, have you come here to die? Other demigod said, Dhruva, your father has died. Go home, quickly. Another demigod said, Dhruva, look at a poisonous snake that is coming to bite you and kill you. Open your eyes. No time for samadhi. One said, Dhruva, your mother has died. Another demigod said, Dhruva, quickly run away from here. I've heard that raging forest is rapidly approaching. And the wind is in this direction, so it will reach you. And soon you will burn to death. Seeing the staunch Dhruva, resolute and unaffected, Indra mounted Airavata and attacked Dhruva. Failing to pierce the boy with the tusks, Airavata terrorized Dhruva by coiling him in his trunk. Dhruva stood undaunted. The demigod Vayu tried to swallow Dhruva by taking the form of a python. Surya became a tiger to drink Dhruva's blood. Binding with snakes, he tried to throw Dhruva in the fire. Chandra attempted to drown Dhruva in Yamuna. So it looks like why the demigods are acting like servants of Hiranyakashipu, like, you know, who are throwing Prahlad into, you know, under the feet of elephant and other things. But we should understand here that it's a Lord's arrangement, we can say, that the demigods are testing Dhruva in this way. Actually, what Prabhupada writes is there is a certain kind of cooperation between, unspoken cooperation between Lord Krishna, devotees and demigods. As one passes the test, the same demigods, they help the devotee to achieve his goal by providing him maybe material necessities or, you know, for his service. For one who has chanted the names of Krishna, what harm can millions of snake bites do? failing to break Dhruva's determination, Brahma, Surya, Indra and other demigods ran away in disgust. Completely undisturbed, Dhruva continued his meditation, fixing his mind on the lotus feet of Vasudeva. Lochandas joyfully sings about the glorious pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, O Gauranga, you are savior of fallen. All glories to you who mercifully liberates the lowest of the low. Lord Gauranga continued telling Shachimata the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Shachimata, while Dhruva maintained his meditation, Narad Muni paid a visit to Vaikuntha. With his sweet music from his Veena, Narad Muni was entertaining Vishnu, who was sitting on the throne with Lakshmi Devi. Smiling gently, Vishnu leaned over and said, "Narada, why am I not enjoying your Veena today?" Narada replied, "Listen, my dear lotus-eyed Lord, today your mind finds no pleasure in my music because you are thinking of one of your devotees. You are the Lord of the poor." Lord Vishnu said, "Who is that devotee who is remembering me?" Narada Muni didn't say, "You should know better." He said, "Dhruva, the king of Uttanapad, he is a saintly boy. But unfortunately, since his mother Suniti is not loved by her husband, Dhruva's stepmother Suruchi was once sitting on the throne with the king Uttanapad playing with the seven sons. Seeing the fun, Dhruva tried to climb the king's throne, but Suruchi pushed him down. Poor Dhruva fell to the ground crying, being controlled by his wife. The king kept silent. Suruchi's actions and words burned Dhruva's heart. Although a tender boy, he left home and went to the forest of Madhuvan to perform intense tapasya." Now we come to the last section of this. The lotus eye Vishnu smilingly slightly spoke sweetly. Yeah. "Narada, I don't show my mercy to one who is not initiated by a guru." Okay, so this means initiation is like the door step to bhakti. Adau guru pada ashray. Of course, this initiation is heart to heart acceptance, you know, rather than more than a formality. Just like Prabhupada says that, when did Prabhupada take formal initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? 1933. But in Prabhupada says in 1922, when he first met Prabhupada, he said, I felt myself, I was happy to be defeated by my guru," he says. And he said that time only I accepted him as my guru, although not officially. That time only I accepted him as my guru. So it's important to take shelter of a pure Vaishnava. "I also don't take offense from one who is not initiated." So I don't know what it means, but it means that Krishna, for somebody who's ignorant, Krishna may not take him seriously, but once who has committed to a path of devotional service, Krishna will be more, let's say, strict in his reciprocation. "I will surely give my mercy to anyone who gives up his parents, goes to Madhuvan and meditates upon me while performing severe austerities." Okay. Narada, a non-devotee, he also understands. A non-devotee cannot take birth in a womb of a devotee. That means if a devotee, on my behalf, a Vaishnava can tolerate any difficulty. "I will always give my mercy to a devotee. Therefore, I will give Dhruva whatever he wants. I am bound by the ropes of prema bhakti of my devotees. I can never neglect a devotee who thinks of me." Narada Muni said, "My dear Lord, Dhruva is initiated by me. So please show your mercy. Go see him and relieve him from the fire of material existence." Lord Vishnu boarded Garuda and flew quickly to Madhuvan forest to see Dhruva. Smiling gently, the Lord said, "Dhruva, my boy, I came from Vaikuntha to give you a boon. his meditation broke. Dhruva stood up happily with folded hands and said, "O Lord, what boon should I ask for? Please give me your mercy. This will expand your fame and glory." Lord Vishnu said, "I will definitely fulfill your desires and give you whatever position you want. Why have you come to Madhuvan? Is it because your stepmother kept you off the throne? If I don't award you high position, how can I keep the title of fulfiller of all desires?" Kalpataru. Dhruva says, "I consider a high position as insignificant as a blade of grass." Now that he has received mercy of Krishna, we'll come to a philosophy part of it later, if time permits. Unless one becomes your devotee, all other achievements are as worthless as a heap of ashes. Lord Vishnu says, "I will give you all the jeweled thrones. You will achieve the topmost post in the three worlds. You, the son of Uttanapad, will become the king, and all your subjects will receive my favor." Not only you, your subjects will also receive my favor. What is that? Sarabhuma Gruhe Dasa Dasi Kukkur. So what to speak of anyone who is so much intimately related with Sarabhuma Bhattacharya, O Amogha. Anyone in Sarabhauma's house, Dasa Dasi Kukkur, even the dog in the house of Sarabhauma is dear to me, is Lord Gauranga to Amogha, the son-in-law. So even the subjects will receive my mercy. Your abode will be called Dhruva Loka, which will be located above the planets of sages. After saying this, Vishnu disappeared. On Lord's order, Vishwakarma built Dhruva Loka. Another piece of information. Vishwakarma who built Dhruva Loka. Upon receiving this boon, Dhruva started for home. King Uttanapad greatly grieved in the absence of Dhruva. Even his mean stepmother cried. She also came to her senses and worried about his well-being. King said, "I am causing distress and misfortune to my son, my own son. Oh, when will I see my son again?" He said to Dhruva's mother, "Suniti, from now on you will be my chief queen." Not the maid servant of Suruji, but my chief queen. "And all my other queens will serve you." Overwhelmed by not seeing his son Dhruva, the king fell to the floor unconscious. At that moment, great sage Narada Muni came to the palace. The king worshipped Narada Muni with proper rituals. After washing Narada's feet, the king revealed his mind to the sage. The king said, "I had a five-year-old son, but he left home without telling me." Narada said, "Your son Dhruva faced many difficulties in the forest. He has become a devotee of Krishna and will soon come home." Narada quoted a verse, "Blessed are those ancestors whose family members become pure devotee. A pure devotee purifies his entire family and the whole world. His home becomes famous throughout the world. The demigods and forefathers on the higher planets also become blessed. That mother whose son is pure devotee is a real mother, but the mother that produces 100 non-devotees is no better than a pig." Narada continued, "When one becomes a Vaishnava, he delivers his parents, family members and other relatives. Your son worshipped Sri Krishna. Know for certain that your son Dhruva is the crest jewel of your dynasty." The king became extremely satisfied with Narada's talk. He ordered his servants to prepare an auspicious reception for Dhruva. They sprinkled sandalwood-scented waters on the streets, collected fragrant flower garlands, musk, kumkum, yogurt and durva grass. The king and his royal entourage ran to welcome his son. He gave Dhruva a warm embrace and sat him on his lap and kissed him again and again. King Uttanapad immediately enthroned Dhruva, turning over his kingdom to his son. Then king retired to the forest. In a joyful mood, Dhruva ruled the kingdom for some time. With power and valor, Dhruva maintained his subjects peacefully for 40 years. Then he took his mother and went to Dhruva Loka, the pole star far above the abode of demigods. So, concluding, after hearing Lord Vishwambar tell the story of Dhruva Maharaj, So Gauranga is hinting, so you also leave me now, then we both will go back home, back to Godhead, like, you know, together. So Shachi Devi said, oh wonderful golden boy, I will go with you too to the forest and spend my days discussing Krishna Katha. I will leave my home. Oh, sorry, you will leave my home and shave your head. So I will also cut off my hair, put earring like that mudra, and like wear red cloth. Shachi Devi is saying, I will also wear red cloth, and like a yogini, I will also go with you. So Gauranga became perturbed to hear Shachi Mata speak this way. So then he pacifies her, saying that don't be disturbed. You know, who is son, who is father, who is mother in this world? Krishna is the only father, Krishna is the only mother, Krishna is the only relative that we want to seek relationship with. So, and I give you a benediction, you don't have to leave home. Whenever you want to see me, you will see me in your meditation. Like that, Lord Vishwambar gives a boon to Mother Shachi. So just 2-3 more points I wanted to discuss. As Prabhupada mentions, gives the stress here on the word pious, pious activities of Dhruva Maharaj, 2-3 times in the purport. So why pious? Because Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukruti no Arjuna. So at this place, at some places in scriptures, approaching Krishna even with material desires is glorified, appreciated. At other places it is depreciated, you know. So what's the issue? I mean, so let's take some verses where look at the verses where approaching Krishna even with material desires is appreciated. Like Krishna himself says, udara sarva evaite jnani tu atmaiva me matam. Just a second, I will just read the exact statement from Prabhupada. It's not cooperating. Okay, anyway. So basically Prabhupada says that if some ignorant person who is not in knowledge approaches Krishna, even with material desires, it's not that Lord is not affectionate to him. Prabhupada says Lord is very much affectionate to him, because he is asking to Krishna to fulfill his material desires. So there is an exchange of affection here, Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Another place it is mentioned that, you know, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udharadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. So if one has all desires or no desires, or desire for devotional service or desire for liberation, in all cases one should perform devotional service. So that is appreciated by the Lord. And another place it is mentioned that Narad Muni goes one step further, saying that, what to speak of material desires? Gopya kamat bhayat kaunsa dveshat chaidya dayo nrupa sambandhat vrishnaya bhaktya snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vivo. So he says that, so even those who think of Krishna in envy and hatred, like Kaunsa and Shishupal, they got liberation. So tasmat kena api upayana mana Krishna niveshayat. Of course, here Chakravarti Pat clarifies that it's not a recommendation to think of Krishna in envious or hatred, negative, pratikulyena, Krishna anushilan. It's recommended that one does anukulyena Krishna anushilan, because that is the definition of bhakti. Other two don't qualify as bhakti. And Kausa and Shishupal were lucky in one sense that they were constantly absorbed in Krishna by their hatred. But someone who's simply cursing Krishna and not absorbed, like Vena, they go to hell. They don't get liberation. And Kausa and Shishupal are also special cases, as mentioned by Jiva Goswami, that they were in one way programmed to think of Krishna in Dvesha, or let's say pre-planned to think of Krishna in envy. So theirs is a special case. Nobody should imitate their case, that maybe I will be also a similar exception like Shishupal. And ultimately what they got is not what pure devotees get. At one place it is mentioned they got Sayujya, and other places they got even the Salokya also of the Lord, especially when Krishna kills. What is it? Parthastrapuda Padamapurasyam. Tathaiva Jane Narolokavira. So it's not, so two are out of question. Dvesha and Bhaya are out of question. So remaining, like for example, Gopya Kamath, it's called Kamanuga Bhakti. Then Sambandhad Vrishnayaha. Vrishnaya here means Vrajvasis, other than Madhurya Bhav. That is called Sambandhanuga Bhakti. Then comes Snehad Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. So Narad Muni's is called Vaidhi Bhakti. And the Sneha is of that of Pandavas. This Sneha, if I remember, is higher stage than the Prema. Like, you know, that Sneha Man Pranay, the stages after Prema. So the whole idea is to remember Krishna in a favorable way. And the best favorable way is Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Okay, once having material desires to think of Krishna is appreciated by Krishna to certain extent, but then Jnani tu Atmaiva me matam, Prabhupada clarifies that one who approaches Krishna with pure devotion, his category is different. Like that's what Vishwanachakra Thakur says. He says that Krishna will purify those who come to him even with material desires. But a purified vastu and pure vastu, although they can be same, said to be equivalent, in refined understanding they are not equivalent. Just like for example, there is some, like the rains are now, you know, rains will come now and there will be streams. So we see some water which was never touched by any contamination. And one takes that water and puts in front of us, and another water became muddy in contact with mud, and they put alum and all other things into it and completely purified it. Okay, and that glass of water is kept in front of us. So yeah, in one sense we can say there is no difference between the two, but in one sense there is difference. Like if you know somebody is so choosy, what he will choose? A very choosy person, what he will choose? He'll choose the first one. Yeah. And he will he says the second one, okay, recycled one. Okay. Yeah, he will choose the first one. Although there is no difference between the two, and Krishna is very choosy actually, you know. God, I mean, and he is condescend to accept the other one also. Yeah, but he will be more happy choosing the first one. So similarly, if one starts with pure devotional intentions, Krishna will appreciate that more than one who starts with material intentions, and Krishna forcibly purifies that devotee, and that devotee leaves his material desires, which is also good, of course, like, but not as good as one who is starting with pure devotion. And therefore, Vishwanachakravarti Thakur gives a concrete example. He says that, therefore, Hanumanji's approach is greater than Dhruva Maharaj's approach. Yeah? Because Hanumanji started with pure devotional approach. Like, you know, like that. But anyway, all well when ends well, like we can say. And of course, there is no end to purifying one's desires, like that. So, and there is no end to one's progress. So even a person comes to material desires, with material desires to Krishna, also pleases Krishna in some way, and getting relieved and giving up the material desires in preference to serving Krishna, that also creates another flavor for Krishna, let's say. Just like there is vanilla, chocolate, and then another flavor. So that, in one sense, creates another flavor for Krishna. That, oh, Krishna, so this devotee, he gave up material desires, you know, after tasting my charanamrit. So that is also appreciated by Krishna. But the recommended process is to approach with right intention. As confirmed by who? Dhruva Maharaj, none other than Dhruva Maharaj himself. So he says, Thana Bilashi, Tapasi Stitoham, Tvam Praptavam, Deva Munindraviyam, Kacham Vichinnam Api Divyaratnam, Swamin Krutarthosmi, Varam Nayache. Now I am Krutarthavaya, now I don't have any material desires. And another is, Yuyam Vimushtamat, Nunam Vimushtamatayastavam Ayayate. He is saying that, you know, the pure devotees are highest, and then comes the Chaturvidha. In them, in Chaturvidha also, the top three are Jnani, Jidnyasu, and Artha. And Artharthi is lowest of them, he says. And I am that one, he says. Artharthi is lowest of the Chaturvidha also. That was new to me. But when I read Chakravarti Path commentary, Chakravarti Path is speaking Dhruva's mind. Like, you know, he says, oh, I am such a foolish that I am the lowest among Chaturvidha. That is Artharthi. And that is how Dhruva Maharaj prays for pure devotion. Then he says that pure devotion only becomes relishable only in association of pure devotees. So therefore, please give me the association of pure devotees. So this particular example of Dhruva Maharaj becomes a very standard example of how one should aspire for pure devotion right from very beginning, as recommended by Dhruva Maharaj himself, who tried other way. You know, so let's pray to Dhruva Maharaj that, you know, that we can purify our approach and please Krishna the best way. Hare Krishna. So is there any one question or one or two? I don't know. I have already crossed the limit. No question. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Gija Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bom.